in time for everybody to make it home safely. Thank you to everybody for braving the weather this evening. Remind you that we are on Zoom, so there is access virtually for members who may not be here in person. Welcome to everyone. I want to confirm that we have a quorum of the board in attendance for our meeting, so we'll get right into it. First item on the agenda is to approve the actual agenda, and you may recall that we put this item in place so that any last-minute items that may come up of a time-sensitive nature between the time the agenda is printed and the time that we actually get to the meeting, we have the opportunity to add those to the agenda tonight. So for the agendas that we put on the seat for each of you, we do want to make one addition. Under the consent agenda, the agenda we have up here was updated Monday and is the agenda that's currently on the website and has been for the last 72 hours. It will show letter G, which is a CD cash and deposited to support cash flow and pay bills. And that's $10,332.42. So that's a transaction that's been added to the agenda here that is not on the one that was printed for you. Those were printed before this addition was made. Are there any other items that we need to add to the agenda under number two so we can list those properly and then approve the agenda and go forward?
Under H, there'd be the MailChimp email access for more than one person. It's $13 a month.
That's on the agenda.
That's under agenda items under F.
We have that.
Okay, so then the other one would be Ace Hardware, $22.32.
Okay.
Glue for the signs.
So we're going to add that as H. H Hardware. What was the amount, Patty?
$22.32.
Okay, $22.32. All right. Any other additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion then to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Moved by Tom.
Second.
Second by Patty. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, number three, public comment. During public comment, members may address the board on any matters under the authority of the HOA, including items on the agenda and items that may not be on the agenda. The board's not authorized to take action on any items not on the agenda. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes per person and 10 minutes per topic unless extended by the board officer presiding over the meeting. Members requesting to speak during public comment will state their name and residential address for public record. In accordance with our Cedar Highlands HOA bylaws, once the public comment is closed, any other discussion or comments from attendees must be approved by a majority vote of the board. Okay. So with that, I know we have at least one person who has made her request known to speak during public comment, and Mike, you'll be second. Do we have anyone else who would like to speak this evening? Is there anyone online that would like to comment during public comment?
Nobody's coming off mute.
Okay.
Nobody's raising their hand, so nope.
Okay. So we'll start with Deb Hartman then. Deb, come on up.
All right, thank you. So one thing about the public comment section is last meeting, I think I heard Rick Silva was up here, and it seemed to me that he was up here for far longer than 3 minutes. I would like the same courtesy extended to me.
To go beyond the 3 minutes?
If necessary.
You may, and once you're finished, we'll see how much time that takes, but yes, you may.
Okay, thank you. All right, so here's a question, and I was hoping to speak to more people that were new to the community.
Name and address.
Oh, I'm Deborah Hartman. I'm in Block 12, Lots 3 and 4. And thank you for that correction. I wish some of that had occurred last week. So, anyway, since there's no new people here, I was going to ask a question. How many people received text messages from my friend Stan asking if they were coming to the meeting last meeting? I got two or three. And I thought it was interesting that he was texting me about it because we were actually on vacation. And it was just interesting that he wanted to know if I was on the mountain or not. And I'll leave that open to you. I suspect perhaps he wanted to know if I was going to be here because I was going to address some of the things that were said. All right. So, you know, there's a tactic, and I don't have to tell all of you all because obviously there's a whole plan of action here. But there's a tactic of planting dirty seeds and including the media. So the person who is being harmed by those dirty seeds don't have an opportunity to respond. It's actually an old business tactic, that meeting tactic that people would use, and it's actually no longer being taught because it's unethical. So I just thought it was interesting, some of the things that's happened in the last few meetings, talking about people who are not here to defend themselves, and then throwing these dirty seeds out for everybody in the community to embrace and go forward. So we have a couple of gentlemen here that have Mike Grass. He's a successful businessman. He's contributed to the community. He's contributed to Cedar Highlands for decades. His track record is proven, and I'm sure he has some things to say. We have Linford Nelson as a developer contractor who has built on this mountain for more than 20 years. More than 20 years. And then just recently, he ran into homeowners who just had so much exception with the way he did business. It's kind of surprising. He has at least four generations of family here, but the new folks in this room, I don't know, they seem to have had a problem with him and his crew. So they have different opinions, they're professionals, and the one thing about Mike and Linford that I noticed is they are... Are you shaking your head, Lori? Now, I believe you were called out on the September meeting.
Hold on. Stop. Please don't confront the board. Stand over here, Deb, where we have our public comment stage.
Oh.
And the timer just went off for your first 3 minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to extend you the courtesy of another 3 minutes if you'll take your place and continue.
How long did Rick have last meeting?
I will see how far we go and give you the time you think you need.
Are you going to have Lori not shake her head while I'm speaking?
I did shake my head. I said, can
we breathe?
Please, you guys. This is...
All right, so we're going to move on. So both Mike and Linford have done business on this mountain. They have differences of opinion. They operate in different realms of the community. But these two men are professionals who are able to come together and have a discussion, even when they have differences. So we have Nick Valanza back here making a disgusting sign with his hands. I would appreciate the audience showing the same courtesy.
United States.
Rick Silva. Oh.
Please. We all just want to hear the public comment. Yeah.
All right. Rick Silva attacked two women last meeting. Julie was on her way home from work to change and go to her granddaughter's first dance recital. Julie was blocked from getting home because three girls ran in the ditch on the 17th. These girls were here for a weekend Airbnb. And I won't ask the board since you don't want me to address the board, but that is against the rules here. So Julie was expressing her anger, and Rick talked about the poor tow truck drivers. Of course the tow truck drivers were enjoying the show. The girls were putting on posturing, frolicking in the snow, showing their assets. But not Rick Silva. He had dirty seeds to plant against the community. Maybe it was because Julie had tried to help Lori when she was first voted in, and no matter how much Julie explained to Lori, she just couldn't get it. Rick was not at all concerned about the residents who needed to get to appointments or get home. And, you know, one thing, guess what? I was on the phone with Julie. I heard the whole thing. I also have pictures. So there you have it. You would think that Rick would have empathy for Julie. After all, she was going to her granddaughter's recital. Rick and Lori talk about Reggie because Reggie has sent documents for Lori to do her job. Seemed to have been disregarded. Stan likes to say he is setting up a calendar of tasks, but that was already available from Reggie. Rick and Lori and Reggie, they said that Reggie has no life. She doesn't have grandchildren. She doesn't garden. Maybe because she's just too busy fighting for her life. So it just seems like there's kind of an odd thing that Rick seems to go after women on the mountain. Let's talk about Pierce Construction. Pierce is small business owner. We know this because his mama was flagging. Reggie encountered her and was going to drive past, but mama was in her car with the sign leaning up against it. That's when they encountered each other. Reggie told her she needs to be out of the vehicle, actually stopping residents so they don't run into the grader on other equipment or other equipment on the blind curves. Reggie's an insurance professional, and she knows what would happen to Chris's business if a resident is injured. Rick didn't talk about Danny Banner. Danny Banner is a really big guy. He had things to say about Pierce. He was pretty vocal about it. Rick didn't talk about Nick Palanza, who abused and threatened a Pierce operator, Cooper, a new father, until he walked off the job and filed a police report.
We're going to go one more 3-minute period. Okay. And that's comparable to what Rick had.
Maybe Rick was mad at Pierce because he would not plow our driveway for free last year. Laura said to me, "You would think that Pierce would plow our driveway." And I stopped there. I said, "He can't do that. It's a conflict of interest. She is on the board, and he cannot do you favors. It's called quid pro quo." And she just kind of ignored me. Rick was proud of Lori for giving it to Brad Pierce, a small business owner who was the only contractor to bid in this job. He was proud of Lori telling the man that now he may not be able to make payments on his equipment, pay his employees, pay his health insurance, business insurance, house payment, feed his children. So Rick's proud of her. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. Lori, you know, she is telling Brad Pierce all of this on the phone. Reggie was trying to save Brad Pierce from having some kind of an incident on the road. So, you know, those are just some of the things that Rick talked about, how he went after women on the road. Sam kind of chastised me for pointing out Lori's failures and not updating the state site. And he just felt it wasn't fair. You know, Lori's been so busy. Well, I don't know. Reggie's been a little busy, too. She's been trying to save her life. She's waiting for phone calls from doctors and other therapists and other entities while being interrupted by the phone calls that Lori had coming through because Lori didn't change the names on the site. Therefore, the mortgage companies and title companies were calling Reggie when they should have been calling Lori. All right. So there you have it. There's the women that were attacked by Rick Silva. I'm glad I got to bring up the Nick because Nick's a man and he told Cooper how to get it done. And Danny Banner, of course he's not here, but I did speak with him and he gave me his permission to use his name in this meeting.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, Mike.
Okay. So I'm here, Mike Brass, 2081 High Juniper Drive. So I had a lot of fun at the last meeting, and I'm here to specifically address just one issue, and that is that allocation of $34,000 that was spent, where it's been implied that I did that on my own. And so, Stan, I printed a copy here for you of the correspondence so you can kind of follow along.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I want to set the tone here, and I may go more than 3 minutes, but basically, the tone at that time is our community had a lot going on. We were coming off of voting on the cumulative voting thing. People were busy doing a lot of projects. I was on vacation. Rick was on vacation. And so around July 18th, I got a message from Rick. Say, Mike, for what it's worth, you mentioned 30K-ish to do subroads. I say concentrate on main road, forget subdivision roads, as they are working just fine. You and most residents in your area don't use our subroads up here like most of us up here use yours, yet 90% use the main road. It's our lifeline to civilization. I say fix the 17 and definitely cap the Juniper Pipe project with 50-50 or good crushed road gravel, not Linford's product because it's volcanic and will turn to dust in no time. If we don't have good hydrology in places on subroads, that's our secondary roads, then we're wasting our time. Just fix the washouts and call it a day. Okay? My comment back is I haven't committed to any work, just got a quote, so Tom has something to work with when wanting to do chargebacks to contractor deposits. our previous meetings, we had discussed in the meetings keeping everybody's deposits and applying them to the roads. And I went out and we talked about it at the previous board meeting to get a quote from Pierce for what it would take to come in the sub-community and dress the roads and patch some work. That's what that quote was, okay? I did get a quote, and then we went in to talk about the $500 engineering cost to do the poles correctly, okay? So I won't read everything here so I can keep it moving, but you can, as the president, I would like you to vet the information and form an opinion, okay? So anyways, that's great, Mike. Thanks. As soon as I get back from my mini RV trip, I'm envisioning this. Rick's in his lawn chair, and I'm in Alaska fishing, okay? And then I get back from in August 7th from Alaska. So that's that whole thing, okay? Then we're jumping down through the text messages, and we're into the drilling of the holes and this type of stuff or the digging of the holes to put the poles in and that stuff. And I went to the effort of going to the county, getting the variance permits, the things that were required to stay in good graces with the county regarding the road. So that's all that conversation you'll get there. But jumping to the next page, after I got done talking to Rick, okay, I had a conversation with Brad, okay, and I copied you on my text messages to Brad. I'm up in Alaska, and Brad's asking me about the road, okay, this is on July 25th. I'm up in Alaska and didn't get approval from my board members yet. I plan to push for approval at the August meeting. Okay, what day is that? August 10th, okay? So I have set the tone that I didn't have the ability to act on my own regarding any of that, okay? So if you jump ahead, and we won't go through all this right now.
Take that. You want another 3 minutes?
Yes. Okay. So at the end, okay, I wrote an email on August 8th to the board to prep them for the meetings, and I described the work that needed to be done, the key plug culverts, all this right here, okay, was all sent to the board. I explained the current money situation of the board, that it would potentially put us into a situation where we may have to draw on our reserve funds by $20,000 if we did these projects. That's all in writing, okay? Now, Patty on the road committee, I concur, let's do it, okay? Nick, his approval from the road committee. Richard DeHammer, his approval from the road committee. Tom's approval from the road committee. Lori's approval from the road committee. This decision was made unanimously by those involved. My management style with this HOA has always been to guide, empower, and work with people that are competent to do their tasks, not micromanage any of it. Why? I'm traveling 60% of my time and don't have time to be the babysitter on all the little projects. When it came time for approval, and we'll get to a few other comments next, okay? I sent the invoice in to Pierce, from Pierce to the board to approve. Jeff approved. Tom pushed back because it was $38,000. I went back to the vendor and explained the situation. He dropped $4,000 off his price, with the commitment to come back and clean up the damage from the monsoon that came through, which he did. Did he do a good job? No, that's why we fired him. Okay, but at the end of the day, Tom agreed to pay the vendor as well. Lori didn't respond to the email, possibly because she's busy counting votes and pulling everything together for the meeting that had to happen, because the next day we had to send out all the ballots for the water tank vote. Okay, so you have a lot of dynamics going on. And I would beg all of you that were involved, go back during that end of July, August period and read your text messages amongst one another and look at the camaraderie this community had and look at where you ended up, where I am under the bus over your $34,000, which is a bunch of BS. Okay, so I think that was handled very poorly. And I understand as we get older, we all have CRS disease, but the record needs to be set straight. I think I'm due an apology for being accused that way. Rick, we worked together a long time. I don't hold you accountable, but you got it wrong. I didn't allocate the work on that road. Now you'll see texts in there between me and Cooper. I came back, I went to the road. There wasn't a 3-inch cap on the road. There was 8 inches of fill dirt put on Juniper. And who allocated that? The roads committee that was here during the time doing that project. And it's all there, and I'm not going to spend a lot more time on this, but you can have another copy because I don't need any more of this.
All right.
But it is a statement of facts, and I have that on every single job I did with the HOA funds in this community. So we can go around on any point on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, I wanted to give you just one thing. I really enjoyed the end of the meeting. I 3D printed everybody a wonderful comfort chicken to deal with your job on this board.
Thank you.
And it's my gift to you moving forward.
Because you know what it's like up here, huh?
Yeah. Can I have one more? I have more in my office. I can only print about 1 an hour.
You may be.
I can do white and black. I only have the two.
Any other public comment?
Okay. And I'm not going to say I got to go. I promise you, I wouldn't waste too much time.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Chad, would you like to come up and make comment?
You bet.
Chad Aiken, 2064. Hi, Juniper.
Thank you.
I'm going to sit. You guys don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the last meeting and the meeting before that, and I was kind of excited with the, I don't want to say I cared anything about all the drama, but what I was excited about was the structure that was happening. Public comment to me seemed like a good idea. It was an opportunity to hear what the community has on their mind, address the board so that the board can put it into action. What it seems to me like it's become is a character assassination and a high school bitch session. I would like to recommend to the board to consider that maybe there be some unofficial meetings where that type of business can be taken somewhere else, because if I come to a board meeting to hear what's happening in the community, I don't care about people's gripes and their conflicts personally. What I would like to hear is the structure of the community and how we're going to go forward getting things done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chad. Any other public comment? Anybody online? Nobody's coming off mute. Okay, we're going to close public comment. I'll make just a couple comments in response. First of all, thank you, all of you, for coming forward and making your comments. That's what I agree. Chad, we hope that in time, public comment becomes more a expression of concern and discussions about specific things that we're working on. But I also recognize, having gone through the last couple of meetings and the type of period that we have gone through, that it's appropriate to give people an opportunity to voice their feelings and release some of that pressure and stress and quite frankly, tell their side of the story. So I appreciate that you came this evening, Deb, and took the time to give a different perspective than what was shared. And we've all heard that now and can kind of take that into consideration. I don't know that for me personally, I was looking for anything specific to nail or attack anybody with or on, but I do feel good that we've given, over the last couple of meetings, tonight included, time for people to share their sides of the story, their concerns about how things were handled, and kind of get that out and get that into the open and on the record. So just as I was appreciative of people that came last meeting, I'm appreciative of you all coming and sharing that tonight. I'm very pleased that Mike took the time to put together documentation. A lot of this, for me personally, I wasn't on the board, but I had privilege to at least some understanding of what was going on. And so I can't speak in contrast to anything that he said specifically, because these were decisions that predated me a little bit. But I'm glad that he felt comfortable coming to the meeting. For me personally, again, what I said all along is I've never questioned the work that Mike's done in terms of his intent, his commitment, the time that he puts in, the representation he's given us in the community. That's all been really great. What I've shared with anyone who has asked is that my experience And what I observed with these three board members once we were all seated in September, from September on, was not the same kind of experience that I heard others describe from previous periods on the board. We interacted differently. I don't know if it was the combination of new eyes and people asking more questions. And I know when you've been the person in charge, that can be kind of irritating. But whatever it was, there wasn't the same type of camaraderie and teamwork that we hear described from the time Reggie and Mike were on the board together, or Lynn Ann or others. So that's all I can say for how I respond to what Mike shared. I want to give each of you the opportunity to say something if you'd like, and let's see if we can get some of this behind us and start to move forward. But I don't want to cut any of you off if you want to respond.
I would like to make a comment. In a comment to Mike, which unfortunately he's not here. But last meeting, when it was alluded that he had spent the money on his own, I did comment that no, he did not, that we had approved, it just wasn't unanimous. He never once approved the use of HOA funds by himself. And I thought I had made that clear last meeting, but that's all I wanted to say. Anybody else?
Anything else?
Well, I find it interesting that I'm sitting up here and I can't express my opinions when somebody tells lies. I find it interesting. I could have more freedom sitting out in the audience and expressing lies and nobody balking on it. That's what I have no power up here at all. To have somebody come up and tell lies. Now, see, I'm not going to go into the specifics because I'm not that person. But for people to sit up here and take it because we're a target and people can tell lies, I don't think that's correct. And this is probably why nobody wants to run for this board. Do you agree with me? Because I tell you, this is a lot more work than you think, and then to have people, then no good deed goes unpunished around here. So this is my opinion. But if somebody else can stand up here and talk, then I can talk.
I agree, and that's the reason you have the opportunity now, Lori. And I think what you've said is people who shared tonight, from your perspective and based on the facts and knowledge you have, they were not being honest. And that's out there now. It's a he said, she said. It's two sides looking at it, however you want to describe it. But that communication is sometimes a little bit messy. Before we leave this completely, I just want to make a couple of quick comments. And I think it'll go to some of what you were sharing, Deb, and some of what I know others have emailed us about. But I'd like to offer another perspective as we consider this kind of comprehensive reset of how the board functions and operates. I'm thinking that we should be at least clarifying what our conceptual and philosophical framework is for serving on this board. Because we're not a government entity. We're not a private sector entity. And when we get communications from our members, and the members are making certain demands and expectations of the board members, it reminds me a lot of how we are treated when we are in a private sector setting or a government setting, where people who have come to their jobs have applied for those jobs, they've been interviewed and screened for those jobs, they earn a salary for those jobs. I would agree 100% that we have to have full-scale evaluations of people's performance and hold them accountable for the work that they do. But the different perspective I want us to consider is we're not that. We are a completely 100% volunteer staff. And when you work with volunteer staffs, you don't apply. There aren't, in our bylaws, there isn't a set of criteria and requirements. There's a list of job duties. Those job duties are open to anyone who runs and gets elected. But we don't say to someone, unless you're a certified public accountant, we need a treasurer you can't run, or whatever that technical skill set might be. So I see us a little bit, not at all like a government entity or a private sector entity. I see us a little bit more like a 100% volunteer staff. Think of the core of people that volunteer at your church. They don't get a salary. They're there doing the best that they can. And I think for the most part, people give them some deference because they know those things have to get done for the church. And they're thankful that people have stepped forward to try and do it. So when we get the emails from some of you, and they're very, they can be perceived as very hostile. They can be derogatory. What we have is people screaming at us on paper by capitalizing all words across the sentence, putting them in bold, and then adding 3 exclamation marks. And then there's things that we get directives from the members. So as a community member, just a regular community member, I'm not their boss. I'm not their boss. They don't earn a salary. They don't get paid. I don't get to direct them as a community member. But some that communicate with us do. And they're very specific, right down to statements like, "You're incompetent. Get off your ass. Do your job." So I'm encouraging us to recognize that that's the best way to drive a volunteer organization out of business. Because no one wants to sit up here and be talked to like that from the members who aren't volunteering. So what I would say to close out my comments is this, that if you are one of those members, if you are one of those who makes it your priority to send us those types of emails, if they come to us, we have to accept them. We were elected. We got to accept what you share with us. But when it comes to expecting a response, if they're going to be hostile, accusatory, and derogatory, it's not going to be a good use of our time to respond to those. So if you're going to be upset about that, if you're online now or here in the audience, just know that we're making that decision because we think the idea of mutual respect and courtesy and how we communicate to each other is a pretty foundational principle. So we're not paid. We don't have job applications. We don't do performance evaluations. We're volunteers. And the only real criteria is, do you want to help? After that, I think a good leader or a good group of leaders figures out what the skills are of the people who are here, assigns the work to be done by those who have talents in those areas, and regardless of what our titles all are, we all just try to work together to get the jobs done. So from us to you, we want you to know that's how we're going to try our best to operate, and we're asking for, you know, thoughtful consideration to reciprocate in the same way. You guys want to add anything else? Okay.
Nope. You set it off.
Okay. Let's keep moving then. All right. Now I need my copy of the agenda.
Don't you consent agenda?
Okay. I must have put it on top of my table. So no, I have it somewhere in Kara. It's just in my mess.
Oh, so all the handouts you guys have on your seats is a 2-sided.
Yep.
I didn't know if you knew.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So on the current consent agenda, we have the following items listed. And remember, the consent agenda was established so that we could process routine business in between meetings by giving kind of a pre-authorization to those officers responsible for doing that, by making sure that any transactions that take place like that between meetings are listed at the very next meeting on a consent agenda, and then that consent agenda is approved. So the items that are listed here for our review today under the consent agenda are the HOA annual Zoom subscription for virtual meetings. That was a reimbursement in the amount of $170. Tractor Works monthly plow service, $12,204.95. for the service, and their monthly staging fee of $6,500. So check was written for...
Well, that was a monthly right there.
The total.
Yeah, that's the total.
Yeah, that's what I'm sharing. So the total was $18,704. Image Pro Copies, $5.45. Western Legacy, which is the accountant and the ongoing cleanup of the financial records, $6.75. And then we added that a certificate of deposit had to be cashed in order for us to be able to pay bills. So that was cashed and deposited. And then MailChimp was the other one that we added at the last minute.
And that was $13 a month.
Yeah, so it was $156, I think, for the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Any questions on any of those items on the consent agenda?
And then that was Ace Hardware.
Yeah, Ace Hardware for $22.32.
So since I've misplaced my agenda, make sure we get that on there. And then any other questions on the items on the consent agenda? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
In a second.
No.
Okay.
So Tom moved.
Second.
Patty seconds to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Action items. Approval of the meeting minutes. We sent minutes to the board for review and approval of January 11th and January 18th. Any questions on the minutes?
No.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes for January 11th and January 18th.
Second.
No, I'll entertain a motion.
Oh, sorry.
Patty moved.
Don't get that wrong. I move to accept these meeting minutes for the 11th and the 18th.
Second. And Lori seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, filling board vacancy. Just we have an item here. It's in the packet of information that was also online before the meeting. Vacancy was recently created by the resignation of HOA board member Mike Brass. The relevant excerpts from our bylaws that speak to filling the board vacancy are provided below. We insert the specific Article 3, Article 6, Section 3, removal and vacancies. And there was one little point of clarification because different members, as they were asking questions about this, had a different understanding of what the board was able to do. And it has to do with the number of appointments that the board can make to fill a vacancy in a single year. And what our bylaw says is that any vacancy on the board that's created by a resignation or retirement or whatever shall be filled either by appointment of the remaining board members or a majority vote of the members if you hold a 165-member meeting. So typically what we do is we appoint with by a majority vote of the remaining board members. The confusion came in where in the event that an increase of the authorized number of directors is approved, so what a board could do occasionally if they wanted to is try to change the CC&Rs and change the bylaws to go from a 5-member board to like a 7-member board. If you're in that transition, you now need 2 new seats to be filled, and you don't have people willing to fill those seats, you can only appoint one. They don't allow the remainder of the board to have the authority to appoint both of those. But we're not in that situation. This isn't about us increasing the number of board members. This is simply replacing a board member. So I was appointed on January the 11th. Another appointment can now be made to fill Mike's vacancy. And what we list here is that someone who might be interested and want to step forward and fill that seat, it would be for the remainder of his elected term, and he was due to term out this fall at the next annual picnic meet. So if you wanted to step forward and serve on the board and you didn't want to do it long term, you could consider stepping forward now and presenting your name to us, and then we could consider that, and the appointment would be for the remainder of the term. We're not going to put anyone on the spot this evening, but everybody has a copy of this, and that's the reason Lori put it on the back of the agenda, so you all would know how that looks. We're going to do our best to function as a board of 4. We're not out actively recruiting new board members, nor are we denying anyone who's willing or interested. So we're just putting the information out there now for the membership. There's no action, if you will, to be taken on this other than the vacancy now exists and the
vacancy is open for interested volunteers to present their name.
Do you want me to do the treasurer report now, or do you want to wait until the end?
My bad.
Yeah. No worries. Okay.
So let's double back now and do the treasurer's report.
Okay. All right. So our ending balance in December was $12,006, and that's our beginning balance for January 31, 24 statement. So we had deposits of $10,771.95, and those deposits were of dues payments and three transfer fees from the sale of a property. So we had one deposit for $766.30 and another deposit for $99.89.50, which included those transfer fees. And we also had a credit for a return from Ace for the sign, from some sign hardware for $16.15. So that was all our AR, our accounts receivables, $10,771.95. And then our debits, our accounts payable and withdrawals, $92,74.17, and that consisted of our road fees of $74,09.98. $63.87 for Intuit, $7.28 Image Pro Printing, $26.90 going postal, and that was for scanning of votes, water votes that went to the attorney. Let's see, $6.84 Image Pro, and $9.83.27 to our attorneys, to Jenkins Bagley. $5.45 for Image Pro Printing. So that is that's our debit. Then we've got our checks that we wrote, and that was $29.68, which was in reimbursement to Lori for some office supply, reimbursement to Mike for some postage and supplies, $15.90, and then accounting to Western Legacy at $7.25 for cleanup. So all of our AP was $92,74.17, which gave us an ending balance of $13,497.84. So that's where we were. Now, with our consent agenda items, we were at $71,88.58, and then I now have a deposit to be made. So our current balance right this minute is $95,36.58. We've had a bit of dues coming in, some, about 20 of them.
Okay, any questions on the treasurer's report?
We do have some bills that came in that are going to need to be paid.
Right.
So I want to review those with you guys, and then we can move to pay them. One I did want to discuss, it's the American Family Insurance. We owe $942.49. I've been paying payments. We got no penalty for paying the payments. So we can either pay the full $942.49 or we can pay the minimum payment again of $109.17 and wait until we get more dues in. We do have our that amount I just gave you for the, let's see, let me turn it back here, the $95,36.58. We have that in the bank.
Right.
So if we pay the $900, and then we also have for us gravel, that we needed a new bit of gravel, $360.04. And they actually billed us the incorrect amount, and Lori caught that, and she contacted them, and they're correcting that. And then we also have our post office box fee of $200.
Right.
So that's what we have that we need to pay. So I can move to... One of us can move to pay these. Do we want to pay the entire American Insurance now, or do we want to hold off?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Absolutely.
I might have missed this because I was desperately looking and finally found my agenda.
Yay!
Do we sustain some sort of a penalty if we make payments? Is that what I heard you say? We can avoid the penalty if we pay it in full? Or?
No, there are two. There's actually three different accounts, insurance accounts.
Okay.
One's for fraud, and then these two.
Okay.
And none of these kick in unless we were sued. And that's what these basically are all about.
Right, right.
The first one I paid in full because it saved us $53.
Right.
On this particular one, there are no penalties whatsoever if we pay the payments.
I see.
So we can choose to pay the entire amount and take about $1,000 out of our account, or we can continue to pay the $100 a month, and that way just stretch it out till we've got more funds in.
Right. My preference would probably be to err on the side of being a little more conservative and just making the minimum payment required.
That's what I've been doing.
Just because we want to do our best now to try to get dues to start coming in.
Yes, it started at
I would feel differently if we could pay it in full and we avoid some sort of surcharge.
Right.
But if there's no penalty for paying it, that errs on the side of conservative, and let's work hard to get our dues.
Yeah, there's no savings. It was originally $12.50, so I paid three payments.
Okay.
That got us through now, but now we're due February 23rd. So we'll pay
one. How much is the monthly?
$109.17.
Yeah. And I'm assuming even if we did start to get it. Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
No, I have no opinion on that.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's no penalty. I like being out of debt, but at the same token, it helps.
Yeah.
Because we've got a lot of different things coming in, so.
Correct. Like I said, I would want to pay it all, but I'm a little more erring on the side of caution.
That's what I've been doing. I just feel better having the $1,000 in the account.
I feel like if we get a nice influx of dues and we reach our goal to try to get them all within our first 30 days, we could pay it in full then.
Yeah.
Whatever the remaining balance.
Right.
No, so I'm going to make the motion that, one, we accept the treasurer's report as presented, and two, authorize the bills that Patty presented to be paid.
I will second that.
Dan
all in favor?
Patty second.
Right.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, so approval of the minutes, treasurer, filling board vacancies, appointing administrative officers.
Hey, Dan. Yes. I wasn't on the agenda, but I do need to ask that I get my deposits back for two deposits that I have coming that I've not received. And also I had a credit of overpaid dues in the past. And then going back many years ago, there's another deposit that I had not received. But for this meeting right now, I'd like to see if I can get my deposit for the last two houses that I did back.
As far as the VAT payments go, we're getting that sorted out. A lot of the entries weren't made. I think you were here at the last meeting when I commented on that, how out of we have something like $37,000 worth of refundables, and the budget was reflecting $22,000.
Yeah.
So the records have not been entered correctly, and now we're doing this cleanup with Elaine to get it taken care of. So as far as your back stuff goes, the paperwork, I've spent the last 3 months, Linford, straightening all that paperwork out and trying to put things in files. So we're getting to the bottom of that. And on the subject of the other monies right now, we've got some work we need to do. Well, we'll have some discussion when we get to the ARC report. But for example, we need COOs. We need the certificates of occupancy is one of the requirements. And then the board is talking about the others. Well, issues that we need to...
Yeah, the way we want it to work is in accordance with the bylaws and the CC&Rs, which says, and in our ARC documents, right, which say, when we have a project completed. So, yes, you've got certificates of occupancy, but we don't.
Yeah.
And so when you get a completed project submitted, then the board reviews, and there has been considerable discussion, particularly going back 2 years, to the road damage that was incurred, both last winter and this. So that's got to be considered in whether or not those impact fees are fully refunded.
Hey, when Mike was the president, he gave me the approval to get my refund back.
Can I have the floor for a second?
Well, yes, but... Two things. One, I apologize, Linford, because I know that you haven't. You just came to the last meeting in this one, but we are trying to reserve the opportunity for these discussions to happen during the public comment.
Okay.
But I'm gonna ask the board that we make the motion to open the floor and accept Linford's comments because he's already made them.
Well, I know,
and then we can engage in the conversation.
I concur.
Okay, so I make a motion we open the floor because we've listened to Linford's comment.
Second.
Tom seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now, do you want to respond, Corey?
I just wanted to comment on the fact that we've had discussions, multiple discussions, on having a meeting that runs accordingly to our agenda and not have interruptions like this.
Yes.
Okay. And I, you know, it's nothing personal, but I thought we had agreed to that's the way the meeting was going to run. So now if we're going to start letting people comment from the galley out there, it's just going to go right back to the way it was.
Which is why when Lindbergh made his comment, I thought it best to get the approval that we should be giving to hear that comment. So I apologize as the presiding officer over the meeting if I didn't shout you down and shut you down, but personally that's not my style.
We're not going to shout.
Or shut someone down when they've already begun to speak. That's not my style.
Well, I apologize for asking that question. I thought we were talking about the treasure and the amounts.
I understand. So
let's just strike it, and I'll handle it some other way.
Thank you, Linford.
We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So did we have... Yeah.
That's not the personal, Linford. We've been trying to train on this whole how this thing's supposed to run.
And it takes a few meetings.
Yeah.
It's going to take us a few meetings, and I expect that at a future meeting, there's going to be someone coming that hasn't been here for a while, and they're not going to understand. We just have to continue to help and try to get it to work as well as we can.
And if we're consistent, then it'll happen.
Yeah. Okay, so appointing administrative officer. Yes, we are on number 5, action items, letter D, appointment of administrative officers. You may recall that this is recently a board policy that was developed and approved. The board members have the opportunity to try to enlist a willing volunteer to provide them support and assistance in their duties as a board member. Administrative officers would sign the code of ethics, the same as board members, and will sign a non-disclosure form, but it is not going to be common practice for administrative officers to access confidential information or in any way, shape, or form take the place of a board member and the board member's responsibilities. But it is a chance for people to help in a way that they might not be willing or have the time to serve on the board, but would be willing to work on a project or provide some help and assistance. And this gives us an official way to do that and be above board and transparent in doing so. So we had one appointment of our first administrative officer at our last meeting, and now Lori would like to make a recommendation for an appointment for her.
So this part here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm recommending the board approve the appointment of Cedar Highlands HOA member Lisa Hatch to serve as my administrative officer under my services secretary. This appointment can be terminated at any time by either party, and would end immediately should I no longer serve as a member of this board. This is a voluntary agreement between the board member, HOA member Lisa Hatch, and has Lisa agreed to serve in this capacity.
Any questions? I'll entertain a motion to approve the appointment of Lisa Hatch to serve as Secretary's Administrative Officer.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Tom, second by Patty. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. The last item on the action agenda is the annual dues collection. We spent a fair amount of time, the board, in planning for the invoicing of our dues. First of all, a couple reminders. We're in the middle right now of the required 30-day notice that the dues are coming. So that went out 15 days ago or so. In another 15 days, the 30-day advance notice will be completed, and then the invoices can be sent out. Once they're sent out, then it states we have another 30 days. That's the grace period during which dues can be received anytime within that 30-day period, and they'll be on time. Well, we haven't been very effective as a board in the past is enforcing what has to happen next for those who may be delinquent in their dues. So what we tried to do by creating this little bit of a campaign, we'll call it, is we wanted to make a declaration of our intent to achieve 100%. And that 100% is a target to try to get all of our dues collected within the 30-day grace period. So the strategies we have set up to try to accomplish that include invoices are coming, a notice that'll say invoices are coming. Be on the lookout. The new annual amount is $840, because what we've had is some people starting to prepay. A lot of folks just at the first of the year write their check. Well, they may have inadvertently written last year's amount. They weren't aware or didn't read or hadn't been informed yet that the dues were changed. So that first update or that first teaser goes out. And then we notify everyone once the invoices are sent out that there's a 30-day grace period, and our goal is to try to achieve 100% collection in those 30 days. And then we send out a text with to folks that say, we have 15 days left to pay your dues. And then we have a text that goes out and says, there's now 5 days left to pay your dues. So we're just trying to be a little bit more communicative, a little bit more proactive. The plan also includes a calling tree of volunteers. And I want to be a little more specific on this. It isn't going to be a group of community-wide volunteers. It's going to be the board members. And what we had originally contemplated is we might try to enlist our administrative officers to help us. And we decided at the last minute to kind of insulate you from any potential criticism and just keep that tucked into the Board of Trustees. And what the calling members would do during the 30-day grace period, not once they're late, we have to take other steps, but during the 30-day grace period, to try to call each of our members once, and the first thing would be, did you get your invoice? You know, some people want it by email. There's a handful of people who want it mailed to them, hard copy. Sometimes we have people telling us they didn't receive it or their addresses weren't correct. So by making an initial call in the first 30 days to say, did you receive your invoice? We're double checking because we want to make sure we have the right contact information. It's one way for us to do that. Then, if they have received their invoice and haven't paid it yet, we want to remind them that we have a goal. As a team, we have set a goal to try to get the dues all collected within the first 30 days, and we would be, you know, very appreciative if you could help us with that. And that's really the gist of it. That's the intent of that kind of a call. These aren't the calls that are going out to folks or the required communications we have to go out to folks after they're delinquent. But we do have to continue to do steps after that. So we felt like the best thing to do was to be open, honest, and transparent. I have, for example, before never had explained to me what's in our articles, our CC&Rs regarding member assessments. And so we included the sections from our CC&Rs in the document that's on the website. It's been there for the last 5 days. And it details what the board is required to do, and it says they shall. They shall identify the people who are delinquent. They shall take the extra steps to communicate with them. And then at some point, they shall bring those names to a board meeting and take action to enforce the collection of the dues. And the end result of all of that, at the most extreme level, is placing a lien on a person's property. Well, there isn't anyone in this room, including the four of us sitting up here, that has any desire to do that at all. Nor do we even like this responsibility. But we've been reminded a number of times now by people recently in the last several months how important it is that we should be following our CC&Rs and bylaws. So forgive us for being as direct as we are in this plan, but all we're really sharing is what's written in your CC&Rs and what we're obligated to do. So that's the idea, is that we do our best in the first 30 days to rally our membership and encourage people to help us achieve a goal of 100%. After that, the board will continue down the list of items that we've got to communicate. We've got to send written communication, and then we bring names to the board. You know, none of us want to do that, and we're all very hopeful and optimistic that we won't have to. So, any questions, you guys, on the plan to do the invoices and dues collections?
Nope.
Then I'll entertain a motion to approve the plan. Lori moves to approve the plan for dues collection.
And I'll second.
Patty seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Now we'll go to committee reports. I know it hasn't been easy to have committee meetings. The weather's been really rough, so we understand if your report is that there is no report. But let's start with fire and safety from Tom and Lori. Anything to update either since last meeting or that you have planned in the near future?
Fire safety, there has been no meeting. I do plan on setting up a recurring monthly meeting. I just need to reach out to the members of the committee and figure out the best time of month to do that.
Okay, great. Roads, I don't work on that nearly as much as Lori does, so if there's anything to update regarding roads, Lori, I would give you the floor.
Okay, I would like to, first of all, I'd like to talk about this right here, this beehive thing.
Oh, okay.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Okay, I've been writing on behalf of Beehive Telephone on this, as this permitting consultant. We are trying to get the HOA input of the placement of a cabinet location for electronics for the fiber optics. And I'm a little concerned. I don't know if they're talking about moving that beehive, because this is not what they told me. Can you please help me with arranging a meeting with Beehive Telephone officials and the RMWT engineers with the board, with the HOA board and the landowners that we need to coordinate with to finalize this location of the cabinet site? So I think Stan might have reached out to them, because I don't know if they're talking about moving that. Do you know anything about that, Linford?
Yeah. The part that concerns me is they said finalize the location. What's the new location?
This is what I'm...
We don't know any of that yet. I'm happy to open the floor again if Linford has the information that will help us. Mm-hmm. But let me respond to Lori, your statement that yes, I have reached out to contact them. We have a meeting set with them for the four of us, and it's going to take place at the same time we would normally meet on the Friday before the next board meeting when we do our agenda review. We will now be including these people to join us in that meeting for the first half.
Okay.
So they're coming. We got a neutral place to meet, and they want to talk to us and explain to us exactly what's going on. If Linford has some insights that can help us, then I would make a motion we open the floor to get that input from Linford.
I would make a motion that Linford.
I made the motion.
Okay.
So Lori seconds.
Okay.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Linford, you have some info on Beehive?
Yeah, Beehive has dealt with the Homeowners Association meeting. We spent a lot of money on it. I would like to be at the meeting that we have at Beehive, because I asked inside. I talked to our brother, which is the original owner of Beehive, and I talk to them all the time because they're trespassing on my property on the mountain. You know, we've had their issues.
Okay.
Sure. I would like to be at the meeting.
It's set right now, Linford, if you'd like to make a note, for March the 8th. I remember that because we put this meeting on my grandson's birthday.
So this is at your home?
No. Because they're bringing a group of people from two different organizations, we're meeting right here.
Oh, okay.
And the room is reserved from 3 to 5 on March the 8th. Which is when we would normally be doing our agenda planning. And then after that meeting, we can stay here and finish our agenda planning for the next meeting.
Okay.
March the 8th, 3 o'clock here, Linford. Beehive.
One thing to just, I'd like this obviously in the minutes and just to keep in consideration. Beehive, on their website, supplies service to Cedar Highlands and nowhere else in Iron County. It's mainly up north. But one of the things that they talk about is fiber optic internet. And one of the things I'm interested in is, okay, if you want to finalize a location, what's your plan to getting fiber throughout our community so everybody can have fiber optic connectivity versus InfoWest satellite or something like that?
Hmm.
So
good questions. That's the reason we're having the meeting.
So that is March 8th?
March.
From 3 to 5 here?
It's a Friday when we would normally be doing our agenda planning.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I had gotten that and I didn't know what to do with it.
So on the roads, any updates or anything from Roads Committee? I know the roads have been all-consuming the last few weeks.
Well, we're having a Roads Committee meeting the 22nd of this month at 3:30 at my house. I'm going to talk with Tom. I'm going to add another person to the committee. His name is Dominic Taylor. but I will send the information to Tom. We're trying to keep up with Rose the best we can, and I appreciate working with Joe because he's been very helpful. But I do have an issue that I would like to read here, a little statement. Under Rhodes, we have a problem with some of our residents that are jeopardizing our relationships with our vendors. For instance, Joe with Tractor Works, who does our snow removal, and Ladd's Towing Service, who does the vehicle towing and recovery. These two vendors are currently the only companies willing to come up here in the wintertime. And believe me, I've tried all the towing companies. They're the only ones. We know for a fact that this harassment is happening. We do not want to name names, but we please recognize that this type of harassment could affect our entire community, and we'd just like this to stop. Because I actually had a conversation with Lads yesterday, and they explained to me, you know, I just don't understand why it's even happening. We need a tow company up here, and if you guys don't want one, I guess that's up to you. But I profusely apologize to them that owns that company. So, you guys know who was yelling at the tow company. That's all. And then as far as roads, like I say, we're trying to keep the plowing down to a minimum because we don't have the money. As you all well know, we don't. So calling them every time the doggone thing snows outside, we can't do that. We have to we're going with an 8-inch criteria, but that's more up at the upper part because I know you guys aren't going to have 8 inches on the bottom side. But 8 inches is 8 inches on top. If it gets too much, then he can't plow through it. So that's our criteria.
Okay.
And that's it.
Anything else from other board members on the roads? We're okay.
I had a conversation with Lads as well. Yeah. And he's about the only one that can come up here or will come up here.
Yeah.
So you don't want to jeopardize that.
The main message we're trying to convey. And we know when you get stuck out there, it's a terrible situation. And I've done it. And I wasn't the happiest camper when the tow guy showed up. But the last thing I was going to do was criticize him or tick him off or anything because he's there to help me get out. So I think it's just making sure that our friends and neighbors know that if we disgruntle these folks, they don't. I mean, I assume they're going to respond to calls for service. I know Joel will work with us because we have an agreement with him. But the main complaints that have come there is there still seems to be some confusion over people thinking that they can call Joe and have Joe come and plow their driveway.
And
what our seasonal reminder said and what we sent out to everybody in multiple texts was that Joe is available to plow your driveway for a fee. If you want to do that, call him directly and let him know. Many of our residents have set that up. But there are some who demand that their driveway be plowed and then don't want to pay for it. And we don't know how else to communicate it other than to repeat it the way we have been. And that's where I think we're hoping that, you know, one, we've worked with our vendors to say, hey, we can't, there's, you know, 50, 60 different families that live up here. We can't control how everybody's going to behave. We're the homeowners association. We're not their, you know, we're not their guardians. So you may need to take a little flack like you do from customers in any community. But just know that the association is consistently sharing this information and asking people to be aware of it and treat our vendors with respect. Very similar to the conversation we were having earlier.
And let's give Lori credit for all the time and energy and work she puts into this, driving the roads to look at them, et cetera.
It's a job.
And then we sit down together and we look at the budget and we compare it to last year's versus now at this time of year and look forward on that. So we keep a close eye on it. We keep a close eye on it.
And I think the comment I shared with Linford earlier is relevant here, and that is another, along with how we should follow our CCNRs to collect the dues, is how we should assess the completion of our new home construction projects and then make the best determination we can whether or not those impact fees are refundable. Because if you look at just the December of 22 and spring of 23, and then December of 23 and now spring of 24, if I have been building a home over those 2 years and dragging equipment and trucks and trailers up there, I've damaged the roads. We don't have to prove it was you. We have the pictures of the roads. It was all of us. Okay? So if we hold back those deposits, it will be because That's part of what ran our budget into the deficit, is that winter from a year and a half ago. And we haven't recovered from that deficit yet. So
I'd like to make one comment on that, because who do you think gets the pictures and the complaints on all this stuff?
You do.
So it's not like we're not aware of it. And it's, we get pictures and license plate numbers, and so we know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know what, if you don't want us to do anything, we won't do anything, but we are getting complaints. So I have a whole file right here, complaints.
Right. Well, we have the one amenity that we have the most responsibility for, and I've heard members argue to me, their point of view is it's the real only priority up here, is safe and accessible roads. Shortly after that comes water and fire, but everybody says number one would be safe and accessible roads. So with that in mind, it is a high priority for us. It's not fancy. It's not, you know, full of glitz and glitter. But at the end of the day, that's what most people will appreciate. And so that's the way we're going to try to make the best decisions we can about those impact fees. That's the reason the ARC policy was changed. Going forward now, the impact fees are going to be non-refundable right up front. And we had a question last meeting, what if a builder's equipment didn't make some of the damage? Or what if a lot owner's builder wasn't part of the damage? And what we shared is we can't, that would be impossible to police. So we can't get into the business of trying to figure out which truck and trailer caused damage and which one didn't. I likened it a little bit to how the highway patrol sets speed limits. If the speed limit as you get out of Cedar City is 75 miles an hour, that's been set because above 75 miles an hour, they have a long track record of more accidents occurring than when you travel below that speed. So they don't say, hey, Tom, you're a good driver, though. You can go 90, right? So in this case, what we're saying is we can't literally track down every different homeowner and builder, but we know when you come up and you're dragging trailers and trucks in the wet months, the roads are getting damaged. And we've all got pictures of everywhere in front of our homes where that has happened. That's sufficient justification. That's the reason we modified the policy. And again, it was based on, you know, some will interpret that to be, oh, there they go, being heavy-handed again, when it's really trying to set something up that benefits us as a community, with so many people saying the roads are one of our highest priorities. All right. ARC. You got your report, Patty?
Yeah, there's really one...
Any new applications?
No applications. One structure's been completed. So there's been no changes in the last couple months.
So since you read the report last meeting, mm-hmm. It's status quo?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Any board members have questions?
Nope. I'll just lead that so I can post it.
Okay.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to accept the ARC report.
Second.
Okay. Right. I'll move to accept the ARC report.
Okay.
Accept it. Tom, second.
Okay. I need a copy.
All right. CC&R and Bylaw Committee. We don't have a second board member yet serving on that, but we haven't made that a priority either, because as we shared at the last meeting, based on the what we think is about a $37,000 deficit in the existing budget, this is just not the year to spend another $5,000 on an all-membership 165-person vote. So we're tabling that project and putting it on the priority list for the coming year, but we felt like it was more important to get the budget in place now. So the good news for those of us who were hoping that we didn't make major changes to the CC&Rs is that we're not going to be able to undertake that project this year. It's not bad news, but what comes along with that now is there is an expectation that we have to enforce the CC&Rs and bylaws. And that's something that I think is going to shorten the lifetime of most board members, because there's a lot of work up here that we're all willing to do, and we can manage some paper and pay bills and keep things moving. But when you have to start dropping, you know, the hammer on each other, that's just a very, very uncomfortable feeling. So the bylaws aren't going to be reviewed this year. I plan to hold a couple of CC&R and bylaw meetings. And I want to do that because I have two new folks who have volunteered to serve on the committee, and they would like to get up to speed, and then we can position ourselves if we choose to do some sort of revision in the future when the budget allows. So that's all for CC&Rs. And then I would like to, first I want to make a quick comment under letter E, the Central Iron County Water Conservancy District and the Cedar Highlands HOA Water Tank and Fire Hydrant Agreement is alive and well. There hasn't been a lot of activity, of course, because it's the dead of winter. But now that we've got the new board year underway and we're on track for a comprehensive reset of our actions and how we conduct our business, I reached out to Paul Monroe. I have a one-on-one meeting set with him for next Wednesday. And we're going to talk about the next steps in getting implementation of the agreement started. The other thing that we've done is Tom, a meeting ago, requested and the board approved that Greg Pierce be authorized to serve as his administrative officer, and the project that Tom and I asked Greg to take under his wing was to work with Iron County as our primary contact person on implementing the details of this agreement. So with that, I'd like to make a motion here among the board that we open the floor for a few minutes to see if Greg would like to give us any update on what he's been doing, because I know he's gotten a lot of documentation, he's read the agreement, and he's got some steps planned. I'd like to give him the opportunity to share that with us. So I move that we open the floor for Greg to share that.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Greg?
Just thinking, I thought you were going to give my report for me.
just that I'm meeting with Paul.
Sure. All right. I will refer to the Central Iron County Water Conservancy District from here on as the Water Guys. It's silly to keep saying 12 syllables from all kinds of organizations. Upon completion of the filing and recording of the approved water tank agreement, the Water Committee can begin approaching the Water Guys to initiate the process of installing the agreed-upon community fire hydrants. A meeting between the President of the Board and the Head of the Water Guys, Paul Monroe, should allow for a point of contact from their organization to be identified. In coordination with Board Member Lori Silva, I will offer myself as the day-to-day point of contact from our community to the person that's identified by Paul Monroe. All actions that I initiate or schedule will be approved by the board's assigned member for oversight, which is again Lori Silva. I'll report on further progress and my associated actions to include goals and objectives regarding the installation process at the next board meeting. In an impromptu way, digging into frozen ground probably isn't going to do us any good. So you can see that there will be no advancement at that point right now. The most important things I can see from a goals and objectives perspective is to find out from them their source of fire hydrants, how many they have, are they the appropriate ones that should be available for our community given our weather conditions, and whether or not they have enough of them to do the requisite amount within the water agreement. Once that's identified, then I will get together with the person that's appointed as my point of contact, my go-between, and we'll work out a schedule for putting in those particular hydrants. I don't know how many we can do in how much time, or what is the length of time it takes to put in the water a fire hydrant. I don't know. A lot of it will depend on depth of soil, how many times they break the water line trying to put it in. It goes on and on. But what will happen is I will be constantly working with Lori and Tom, because Tom is my board member, mm-hmm. and making sure that they are involved and they do all of the decision-making associated with any of the actions, schedules, goals, or objectives that I have. So that everybody will know that I'm not out there like some kind of rogue fool. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Greg, they have a water meeting next Thursday, and you won't be here, correct?
Well, no, I won't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're meeting with them on Wednesday?
I meet with Paul one-on-one on Wednesday, and I'll let him know that our absence at the board meetings is not deliberate, but we don't want to stand before the board until we have our list of questions and or, you know, expectations clarified. What I'm hoping, I think what happens in a lot of public organizations is rather than go directly to the board, you go to the chief administrative officer first. So this is an agreement that their board is already aware of, that they've assigned Paul the responsibility to implement. My guess is Paul's going to assign it to his number two person because he's probably got multiple things going on. And that number two person is going to be their primary contact. And Greg, alongside Lori, is going to be our primary contact. So actually attending their next meeting is not as critical as getting the meeting set up between Paul and I and then getting Greg connected to the person who's going to be in charge.
All right. So we won't have to worry about next Thursday meeting.
Yeah. I think we can relieve our calendar of that.
Okay. If you want me to go with you, I will, but...
Okay. All right. Anything else on the reports?
On the water, one more thing on water. We had a breakage about 2 weeks ago, and it affected the Zacchus property, but it affected everybody up in the north part, but it shut their water off for 3 or 4 days. And there's still a hole in the ground, and there's caution tape there. And it's on, Cedar Highlands Drive, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right above Zacchus, which is 1115 Cedar Highlands Drive. So I don't know when they're going to get that fixed because... I guess the weather's probably affecting it. So there's still a hole there. They do have the tape. Nobody's fallen in it yet.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
How high up is the tape? Is it still visible with the snow?
Is it, Rick?
I think most of it blown away.
Most of it is blown away.
There's just a construction candle in the hole right now. They had a sign, but it blows over.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if I should call and find out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to make sure that Joe's aware of that to make sure that he doesn't drive into a hole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll talk to him.
Okay.
Well, and if you can call you can call if you would like, Lori, or you can let me put that on the agenda for the time that I meet with Paul, unless you think we should address it tomorrow.
Well, I'm just wondering. Okay, there's a hole there. I'm just I'm just wondering if somebody's going to find it. So I think it's right before we get Nanny's house. So if anybody knows where that is, it's Cedar Mountain Road. Mm-hmm. Right across from Denhalter's place.
If you want to call and follow up, that's great.
No, okay.
Or if you want me to.
No, I'll call. I'll just ask you what the plans are to do.
Yeah, just let them know. Go, hey, we get that it's winter and there's snow, but we're also concerned because we have our blower and plow coming through and we have people driving on the road and looks like the hazard tape is down, etc.
Yeah. Well, the last time they came up to fix that, they got involved with a car that was in the ditch and they got in the ditch with their trailer. So that was the water conservancy people and they had to pull themselves out and pull another car out. So I don't think they want to come back up here for a while.
Okay. Well, if you need my help once you make that call, just let me know.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to move us down to information items and try to wrap up. Under information items, letter A, we've already addressed. That's the comments Lori made earlier regarding the treatment of our vendors. Patty, do we have an update on the community sign project?
Yes. Stephen Nye has been cutting and putting everything together, and that was what I bought at Ace with the glue. It's an exterior, really strong glue to hold the TNG together. And... he will be done with those, putting that together within the next few days, and then Steve Danto will be back, and he'll be finishing them. Then we can put them all together and get them up.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're looking really good.
Are you going to put them up with snow on the ground?
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll see
what the window is and what the conditions are, but if we can, we will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As soon as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll give a quick update on the completion and official filing and recording of the water tank agreement as of this evening. Thank you, Hartmans. We have all of the required signatures on Exhibit G, which we had to, if anybody other than the secretary was named as a proxy, the person who was named as a proxy needed to also sign alongside those. And Hartmans were proxies for a couple of folks. I think Tom was a proxy for one. So we've gone around and gotten everyone caught up on that. In reference to your comment earlier, Deb, about me texting you a couple of times to see if you were going to be in town or if you were back in town, it was because I was trying to get up to the house to give you these to sign. it didn't have to. I was asking, are you going to be at the meeting so we could, because I didn't know when you guys were coming back.
You could coordinate.
And so, yeah, but thank you, because she agreed to, if I brought them here tonight, to get them done. And so we'll be submitting that to the attorney's office, and that's all they'll need to record and file the agreement. Okay, we have a complaint resolution, I think. One of the written complaints we've received since September has been the nuisance of some barking dogs. Mm-hmm.
Okay, barking dogs, I have four complaints right there. I gave them to Deputy Minky of Iron County Sheriff's Office, but she's the animal control person. And this has occurred up at Cedar High, no, this has occurred up at High Mountain View, below Banners. So I have four. I turned in four complaints, and that's in their hands now, and we're done with it. I called and checked a week after I gave them the complaints, and they said they were on it. And I guess what's going to happen is if he doesn't take care of the problem, they're going to get the district attorney involved. So I guess filling out the complaint forms does work. You know, I mean, if you get a number of them, I don't think one complaint would have been so good to give her. But Patty and I had talked to the guy. We gave him a warning letter, and he didn't cease and desist, did he? That was a warning letter. So then we had to go to the county. So.
And since then, we haven't heard any
more. I think he's doing something with the dog. I think something's happening now. I haven't got any more complaints, so I haven't heard them barking, so I'm not even sure they're there. So anyway, the whole process worked. But
good. I think that's.
It wasn't fun for me, I'll tell you that right now.
No.
So much of this
work up here isn't.
Huh? Yeah.
But I think what it does, it is a good example of the value of having the written complaint form. Because I know we've had, you know, we've all balked at that too. Why do we have to be so formal? We're not trying to be overly formal or rigid, but we are trying to have some sort of a system that falls somewhere between being, you know, the federal government and a backyard barbecue. So somewhere in the middle, we should have enough systems and procedures in place to be able to process information. And the bigger that we've gotten now and the more permanent residents we have, I think the more valuable it is that we have stuff written down and we have guidelines to follow on as many procedures as possible. Item E is a report on the board goals. I'm not going to belabor that tonight. It's a bad night. Weather-wise, people need to get home. But just know that we did take action as a board to approve and adopt 6 goals for the year. We're not sticking them up on the shelf. And each board meeting, as we continue to try to address these items and get them corrected, we'll be giving you a quick update of where we are on the different board goals and objectives. But again, tonight I'm gonna forego that because we want to get home early and on time. Any other correspondence that we've received that we want to share, or any comments about anything else that board members want to make before we adjourn?
Any making comments?
You'll notice there's no closed session listed for tonight. There was no confidential business to be addressed. When you see a closed session listed, from this point forward, you'll also see a notation under that closed session of what the topic will be in the closed session. And then there is a requirement, if the board takes any action in closed session, that they come back out, reconvene in their public meeting, report the action that was taken, and then officially adjourn. So that would be the protocol you could be expecting if you see closed session stuff on here. Anything else for the good of the order?
I hope we make it home.
Deb?
I have one question, and then I have a document that I want to share with the board that I want entered into the minutes. I have a question about the code of conduct and ethics for the board. Has everybody signed it for this term?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm wondering why we're going this route, Sam.
He just gave me permission.
Right, but hand out your stuff and then we're going to adjourn.
Okay, you can adjourn then.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would like to make, can I make a comment?
You can comment whatever.
What I am wondering, you guys, here is, are we here trying to do good for the community? Or are we here as a punching bag? I mean, honestly, are we trying to do something good, or am I wasting my time?
Good, like what, for people that have, letting people have chickens.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with that.
Here's what we're not going to do. That kind of exchange, just forget it. I apologize that I had called on you, Deb. If I'd have known, it would have ignited this. Mm-hmm. I'd have said, let's just stop. But I'm trying to make sure that people don't feel shut down. But what I am asking is, if you have something that you want to present going forward now, you do it in public comment, period. Don't raise your hand afterwards to give us something later, because that puts me in a position to get between what we're trying to accomplish, which is to have a little bit more orderly channel of communication. That's all. Anything else? Meeting's adjourned. Thank you, guys. Drive safe going home, everybody.